We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
I do want to reiterate a special thank you to all the helpers that helped last week, and Marika, especially to you, and even Hannah. I think you guys were down in kids' church every night or every other night, three times during the week each. And that's a lot of work down there. I know other people are involved with that, Sori and Judy and different ones that were helping. So big thank you to taking care of all the kids and changing poopy diapers and all that fun stuff that you guys get to do down there. So we greatly appreciated it. And for the record, yes, we did have an awesome night at Guys Night. We got to shoot guns last night, and we're actually shooting just pellet guns. So it's still technically a gun, but not a real gun technically. But anyway, we were on the side of the church property over here shooting just at some targets, and like all these cars were driving by and staring at us as we were doing it. And then all of a sudden we saw police cars coming down the road with their lights flashing, and we were like, oh no. They're coming for Arnav. No, I'm just kidding. But they drove by. It wasn't for us, but thankfully. But it was fun. We had a good time last night. So, ladies, you should be intimidated. There wasn't really blood, but we did have a mass genocide of ants that committed suicide in the fire. So. Yeah, it was pretty fun to watch for you guys. Anyway, Merlin, why don't you come share with everyone what you just shared with me before service? She has a testimony that she wants to share. Yeah, I'll hold this. You tell them what was going on and then tell them what happened.
Okay, for 2 months, I've been having pain in my neck. I had limited movement to my right and left. And I went to the physical therapy, and when they told me I had a pill in the pocket, I said I'd hold off on it. Anyway, I came to the Encounter conference, and I went up for healing with Yala, and she put her hand on my neck. No, I can't turn.
Praise the Lord.
No, my neck has been healed. And I do
Praise
not need
Lord.
Physical therapy
That's
anymore.
Awesome. Hallelujah. God's good. So for two months, pain in her neck. And then Yana prayed for her, and now she can move her neck, and the pain's gone. Praise the Lord. Does anyone else have a testimony that they would like to share of what the Lord did in their life during Encounter Week last week? Maybe it was just something. Actually, I'm going to ask my wife. You know, you got like wrecked like several times last week. Why don't you just come up and share just what you felt about the conference, what the Lord was doing in your life? Babe, come on, just tell them what the Lord did. It doesn't have to be profound or long or anything.
Yeah,
but
let me think. Like every night, like. Was amazing.
Tell them what happened that one night where you were running camera and then you just couldn't even take pictures.
Yeah, that Thursday night though. I don't even remember what she was talking about, how just like
she's talking about hunger, right?
She was talking about hunger. And I don't think I had gotten touched like that since I was in Bible school.
Wow.
Like, I was just like, I was so drunk, and everybody was up here just totally smacked, and I was trying to keep it together, and I was like, okay, I'm going to get some photos because this is amazing. And there's nothing better than as a pastor and seeing your people, like, getting touched and getting wrecked in the presence of the Lord, because, like, that's what we pray for. That's what, like, we're so desperate for and hungry for, is to see all of you guys, you know, because we know you come to us with prayer requests, and you guys are believing for big things, and we want you to be believing for, you know, amazing big things. And so to see you guys, I always get so touched just seeing you guys get so wrecked. But so I was trying to pull it together because I'm like, oh my gosh, these photos, like these, like seeing you guys is going to be so amazing. You know, I want to remember this. I want to look back and see these photos and remember that Hannah was just like, it was like her mascara was like just going everywhere. Yana had mascara everywhere. We were all just completely mascara everywhere. I mean, black, raccoons, couldn't see anything. But so I'm like, okay, I got to try and get some photos. And I'm like over here trying to take some photos. I don't even remember who it was. Probably Hannah went down. And I'm just like, Hannah's down. There's already three other people down. And I'm just like, I can't. I'm start falling forward, like getting smacked, getting hit by the presence. And I fall. I'm like, if I don't sit down, I'm just going to be completely face plant, you know, in heels, just like face plant. So, I mean, I just couldn't. I could not stop like allowing, like the God was just touching me so much. It was just so awesome. But it was really more of like, he was just breaking my heart for people on a whole nother level for me to, it reminded me of that first touch that I got in Bible school. I showed you guys that photo before where I was just like screaming, like totally wrecked in Bible school, just like God breaking my heart for people. Because the biggest thing for me is I was always such a selfish, like vain individual person. And I only ever thought about myself because growing up really, like it was like we were very poor. So it was like if you didn't fend for yourself, you weren't going to get anything. You know, when mom brought groceries home, it was like either hoard or hide the food somewhere, you know, like or scarf it down now because it won't last for the week. But so it was like I always like was out for me, like focused for me. And when I grew up in the world, I was still always like really focused on like, well, what's my priority? What do I want in life? And I kind of would bulldoze people to get what I want. So when the Lord broke my heart in Bible school for people and like, and I knew that I was called into ministry, I was like, you know, I that was so crazy to me because it was like the most selfish person is called to like love people for the rest of their life. What, Lord? Like, why would you use me? Like, you know, how could you use me? But so when that was just like, again, like God just touched me and was like, I'm just giving you another level of like loving people and serving people because, you know, it's really, to me, the thing that matters the most is like when I die, what people will say of me as far as like, I want people to feel loved. I want people to know that like, that's really all that matters is that we love other people, that's what Jesus did. He came to love other people. And so he was just wrecking me that night for another level of just like loving people. So
it was a good week for you.
It was a really good week for me. I was like, we need to do this even more often. It was just like, you know, because it's every single night the Lord's just building on something. It's like, you know, Monday night he might be taking something out. Tuesday night he might be putting something in. Wednesday night he's just like, you know, healing you of something. Thursday night he's like, you know, he's giving you financial blessing. It's like every single night when you come, it's just like God is just doing something totally different in your life. And at the end of the week, you're just like, come on. Like, you know, like, and then your message on Sunday about like always going forward. We left service and I was like, that was like your best message ever. I was like, can you preach that like all the time? Like you need to preach that when we go to Amsterdam, when we go to Italy, everywhere. Like that's a message that people always need to hear because it's so important that after a week like that, you don't like just go backwards or you just don't go back to your mundane life. You're just like, okay, I'm hungry. I'm still pressing in. You know, look at all of you here Wednesday night and I know Sunday's going to be packed out, but it's just like, you know, our vision is to reach as many people as possible until we die to go to be with the Lord. And so we're just looking for people who are just so desperate and so hungry for God to move in their life, for God, for them to just say like, here I am, Lord, like use me, like touch my life, change me so that we can be an example so that we can touch and change other people's lives. So, man, I'm excited. So it was an awesome week. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. Go ahead. What's up?
I text Pastor on Sunday morning because even after the encounter conference, I didn't realize that Satan was attacking me. And I wanted to tell him I wasn't feeling up to anything. I was feeling down, feeling depressed. And he said, come to church. I came to church. And he talked about pressing into the things of God. And I decided to do this. And Monday morning, I woke up a different person. I had energy. I had a step. I was so, I was just ready to take on the world. After the sermon on Sunday.
That's so great.
I was so excited just to be out. It's like you know when you get sick and then all of a sudden after medication you get so well. Where the sermon came as medicine to my soul.
Amen.
I was so excited getting the sermon really touched me on Sunday. really touched me. I'm really happy to know. Amen. I happen to know I'm here. Yeah. Happen to be here. Yeah, happen to be here.
Amen. Amen. And I know the other people have testimonies. I mean, I saw Latoya just get like totally wiped out. Yeah. Jordan, the one night crawls out of the sound booth and like comes down here, ends up like just a wreck on the floor. I don't even know if he got prayed for, but just. And I know everyone, you know, all week long. I mean, that's
Sarah
what.
Fell out and didn't even ever have
Sarah got wiped out.
Yeah, wiped.
You know, I mean, people were just pressing in, and that's what we're all about. You know, is getting hungry for God and letting the Holy Spirit move and touch people. Amen. Mm-hmm. So I was so happy to see all of you coming, so hungry and thirsty for the things of God. So, hallelujah. And yeah, Sunday's message, I think, you know, just hit home with a lot of people because, like, you go through a week like that, the Lord's, like, totally changing your life. And remember a few weeks ago we shared the parable, the sower, the seed. The devil instantly wants to come and rob the seed of the word that was planted. And so it's like that's what exactly what happens. You leave a conference and you want to be on cloud nine, and then instantly something comes up and tries to like put you back down to where you were before the conference or whatever. But it's a matter of saying, no, I'm going to press forward. I'm going to press in and keep going on. Amen? All right, well, tonight's a little bit of a different night. We've been going on our Wednesday nights. We've been going through the Gospel of Luke. But tonight, we're going to do something, as I said, a little different. I'm actually going to have you help me preach my sermon tonight. So, you know, I've been talking about the confessions, or I'm calling them affirmations, because we're going to be sending this out, you know, to actually as like kind of like a marketing thing. We're going to, you know, in order for people that they can get it for free as long as they give us their email address, and then we'll send them information about our church, so on and so forth. So for the world out there, we're calling it affirmations, but really it's confessions. It's all the same thing, though. So I'm actually going to go through the entire list of confessions with all of you, so we're going to do that together tonight. And so you're going to help me preach my sermon tonight, and it's going to be good. Amen. You know, we spent, I think, about 2 or 3 months on faith and on speaking God's word, and it's so important to put pressure on the word, to take action on the word, to activate our faith. You know, I don't know if you can hear my voice is a little bit stuffy, and you know, I want to blame the air conditioning for that, but either way, you know, coming out of conference, and even after Sunday's message, like, it was like I was just so fired up. Sometimes I have a tendency, or maybe you've done the same thing, where you come out of a conference and you're like, you know, you were pressing in so hard all week and stuff, and then you just kind of end up into like, well, let's just take a break for a second. And I didn't do my confessions on Monday. I didn't do my confessions on Tuesday, these confessions that we're going to do tonight. And, you know, what happened was, I think it was Monday afternoon, I felt a hint of like a little bit in the back of my throat, just like a little bit of stinging pain, and I just ignored it. Now, here's the thing. As soon as you feel a symptom, you have to attack it. You can't just stay in neutral. You can't just think like, well, you know, maybe it'll go away. The instant you feel the attack of the enemy, you have to attack right back with the word of God. Because here's the thing. One of my favorite ministers that I listen to, he says the devil, he's like a squatter. And if you know about squatters, it's much easier. And actually, you know, if you're into real estate and you have rental properties, it's much cheaper to keep a squatter out of your apartment than it is to get rid of them. Because once a squatter get in there, even though, and this is ridiculous, if you don't know about real estate, this is totally ridiculous, but you own the house. You own the title to the house. It's yours, and you're renting it out, and you know, maybe you're between like renters where you need a new renter, and so it's vacant for a month or two. Some squatter, somebody breaks into that house and moves in there. There's something called squatter rights. They have rights now to be into your house, and you have to go through an eviction process. You can't just walk in there with your 12-gauge and say, hey, buddy, get on out of here. There's actually a legal process that you have to go through in order to get that dude out of your house, the house that legally belongs to you, that you paid for, and that guy is now costing you money. You know, he can go in there and mess the whole place up, and you can't go in there guns blazing and kick him out. The devil's no different. He's a squatter. If you let him in, he squats right up on the inside of you. I know that sounds really messed up, but it's true no less. You know, he's a squatter. Once he gets in there, it's so much easier just to keep him out versus once he gets in, now trying to, you know, do the eviction process. And so, you know, my wife, I love her because she's not afraid to just give me, you know, what I need to hear. Because I'm trying to feel sorry for myself this morning, you know, like not feeling the best or whatever. And she's like, she comes into the room and she's like, you're more than a conqueror. You know, I don't remember all the things, but she's just rifling through some scriptures. You know, you have the victory. You know, God has healed you. And I'm like, and all I wanted to say, and here's a key. I'll get to the key in a second. I wanted to say, no, I'm not. I don't feel like it. I feel like a loser. I feel like I'm failing. I feel sick. I feel messed up. Because your mind will want to, your mind will think those thoughts, and your mind will actually want you to say those thoughts. But here's good news for you. You don't have to agree with it. You don't have to agree with your mind, and you don't have to say what your mind is thinking. I know people are all about, like, I want to say what's on my mind. Sometimes you shouldn't. Sometimes just tell your mind, shut up, man. You're really messed up, you know. We're just going to keep that on the down low, all right? We're going to just, like, pretend that's not happening. And so I didn't say anything, and I was actually kind of annoyed, you know, because, like, I wanted to feel victorious, but I didn't. And but that stirred something in me, like, yeah, man, what are you doing? You're letting squatters come into your house, you know? Why are you not taking action on God's word? Rather than stirring myself up and going through the confessions and standing on the word of God, I was allowing myself to be beat up right after Encounter Conference. And so, look, I'm no different than anybody else. The enemy will try to attack me just like he'll try to attack you. And if I don't do anything about it, the enemy has victory. And so I'm not like a special case or a special person. We have to stand on the word. So I figured tonight there would be it'd just be awesome for you guys to help me preach this sermon and help me preach it to myself. But before we go into it, because we're going to begin the eviction process here and kick some squatters out. And also, this is the same thing that you do to make sure that the devil doesn't come in. Take this. This is your doctor's prescription. Take it one pill in the morning, one pill at the evening, and it'll keep the devil out, all right? So now before I go into it, I just want to read a couple of the background scriptures for it just so you remember the importance of why we do this. Mark 11, verse 22. And by the way, this, what I have here, I'm sending out to everybody. If you're subscribed to our email list, if you get our church emails, you'll be getting this probably this week. So make sure you're subscribed to that, and we'll send that out to you. Mark 11, 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Now, what we're doing tonight, even though we're confessing God's word and we're speaking out, it's a way of praying. In Isaiah chapter 43, the Bible says, to put me in remembrance. God wants to be put in remembrance of his word. He wants us to go to his word and say, "Lord, we're putting you in remembrance of your word, and this is what your word says." And as we do that, and when we say it, if we believe it in our heart, we'll have what we say. John chapter 14 and verse 13. This is Jesus speaking. "And whatever you ask in my name," which is in the name of Jesus, "that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." So it's important to pray in the name of Jesus. John 15, 7. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, and you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." So it's what better way to show the Lord that the word is abiding in us than by actually declaring the word. So when his word is in us, when we're in him and we speak the word, we'll ask what we desire and it'll be done for us. Doesn't even say what God desires. When we say and when we ask what we desire, as long as we're abiding in him and his word abides in us, it shall be done for you. And then in the same chapter, verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. And there it is. Whatever we ask the Father in the name of Jesus, he will give it to you. So you'll notice as we go through these confessions, I say, thank you, Father God, or Father God, in the name of Jesus. You know, so we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Why? That's what Jesus told us to do. It's not that complicated. Matthew 16 and verse 23, in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. You see right there, he says it again. Amen? So that's what we're going to do. We're going to go through these confessions. And I have the scriptures. All the scriptures that these confessions are based off of are right here with it. And so I might mention a couple of them as we go through. But I want you to say these out loud after me. So let's begin. The first one I've titled Victorious Living because, hey, what's better than victorious living? Who? I mean, maybe, you know what? I'm going to make another special one and I'll send it out to, you know, some of, you know, the other churches in the area, and then I'll call it Defeated Living for all the ones that like to believe in sickness and like to believe in poverty. You know, no, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that. But, you know, we're actually a church that believes in victorious living, so we have the victory. Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Father God.
I'm the body of Christ.
I'm the body of Christ.
I was crucified with Christ.
I was crucified with Christ.
I died with Christ.
I was buried with
Christ.
I was raised with Christ.
I was seated with Christ.
Therefore, I rule and reign with
Christ. This is so important. You see, too often we focus on what Jesus was doing in the Gospels for us, which is awesome because that's how he purchased our salvation and so on and so forth. But you have to understand that we right now, you know, and honestly, this song that we've been singing, I don't know when it started happening, but, we sing the song, The Resurrected King is Resurrecting Me. We've been singing that, and I don't know why. I don't know when it happened, but somehow I just started thinking about that, and I'm like, that's not really true. We are already resurrected. I'm not being resurrected. I died with Christ. I was buried with Christ. I was raised with Christ, and now I'm seated at the right hand of the Father with Christ. I'm seated in Christ in heavenly places. So why would I be singing about being resurrected? I'm not being resurrected. I already was. And you see, that's the thing, is that too much of the church world focuses on what Jesus was doing, not what he already has done for us. You see, we have to look at the New Testament and the revelation of what Paul did for us and then declare that. Jesus was showing and declaring to the Gentile or to the Jewish people what you can be, and Paul was writing to the New Testament Christian church of what you are. Yeah. So there's a big difference there. So it's not that what Jesus was doing wasn't, you know, doesn't apply to us. He was showing us, he was showing them, this is what you guys are going to be after you receive me as your Lord and Savior and you're filled with the Holy Spirit. He was showing them, you're going to operate like I am. That's why he was saying, these works and greater you shall do. You're going to be just like me. You're going to have the same power on the inside of you. But too many times we're focused on Old Testament, and even Jesus was operating under the Old Testament as he was ministering. We need to get a revelation from the New Testament based on what Paul wrote, that we already have the victory, that we are more than overcomers, that God always leads us to victory through Christ. You see, it's something that he's already done. Amen? All right. So that's, you know, when we read that, if you've not studied this out, you might think to myself, wait a second, I died with Christ, I was buried with Christ, yes, you were. This is what the Word, the New Testament, says about you. And it's important that we need to know, that we know that. You know, for reference sake, and you'll get all these when you get this, but I'm just going to reference the scriptures real quick so you know that I'm not just blowing smoke. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. You see, have been, past tense. Romans 6, 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. Romans 6, 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. Colossians 3, 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Ephesians 2, 6. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see, that's our seating. We're not in the process of being buried with Christ. We already were. When you became a believer in Jesus, you go right to what he's already done for us. We are baptized into his death, buried, and then raised from the dead, and seated, raised and seated at the right hand of the Father. It's so important because if right now Jesus has already won the victory and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and we're seated in the same place, then we are too. So that means Satan's work can't touch me. Amen? Unless I let him. So that's why it goes on. Thank you, Father God. Satan's power over my life is broken.
Satan's power over my mind is broken.
Satan's power over my thought life is broken.
Satan's power over my body is broken.
Satan's power over my family is broken.
Satan's power over my money is broken.
Why? Because we're seated in Christ in heavenly places. We already died, we were already buried, we were already raised, and we already ascended to the right hand of the Father, and we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Father God.
From this day to my last day.
From this day to my last day.
I walk in total.
Absolute.
Victory.
Victory.
From this day to my last day.
I walk in the finished work of Christ.
And that's what the finished work of Christ is. Amen? All right, let's keep going. Thank you, Father God.
Christ has redeemed me
from the curse of the law.
The curse and its effects
have been broken off of my life.
I am free from all sickness.
Disease,
plagues,
pain,
poverty,
lack,
confusion,
stress,
failure,
infertility,
drought,
famine,
calamity,
oppression,
depression,
bondage,
disgrace,
loss,
or any other effect of the curse.
None of these shall be part of
or associated with my life.
Amen. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
You see, the Bible says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Yeah.
And if you go back and study out what the curse of the law was, that's just some of the effects of the curse. It's not all of them. Like, you go back and you read in Deuteronomy chapter 28 what all the effects of the curse of the law are, and there's actually a lot more. But I believe that covers up most of it. I mean, that was a lot of bad stuff. But thank God we've been set free from all of that. None of that has to be part of our life. And we're just reminding the devil that it's so. And we're reminding God what his word says. Amen? All right, so if we've been redeemed from the curse, where are we? We're in the blessing of Abraham, which is, thank you, Father God, I am blessed.
Thank you, Father God, I am blessed.
This means everything I set my hand to is blessed.
This means everything I set my hand to is blessed.
The Lord has opened his good treasure to me. Now let me just pause you. Maybe you're not familiar with what we're doing, but the Bible says that the power of life and death is in the tongue. And the Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible says that Jesus is the Word made flesh. So as we proclaim the Word of God, we're actually literally speaking the life of God, and it's coming out of our mouth. Which in that verse, it says that we live, that we eat the fruit of our lips. Amen? So that's exactly what we're doing. We're proclaiming life from our lips. And that's what we're going to partake of. The Lord causes me to be plenteous in goods. The, my storehouses, which include my bank accounts, are blessed. I lend to many and borrow from none. I'm blessed going in and blessed going out. I'm blessed in the city and in the country. I'm blessed, or blessed is the fruit of my body, the produce of my ground, the increase of my herds, or my businesses. Whatever carries my resources is blessed. Whatever produces my food is blessed. The Lord has opened the heavens to give me rain in its season. Good job on that one. I wasn't sure if you'd get it all. That was a long one. Any enemy that rises against me will easily be defeated. The land that I am living in is blessed.
People all around the world
will see that I belong to God
and that He has blessed me.
I am the head and not the tail.
I am the head and not the tail.
I am above only and not beneath.
I am above only and not beneath.
I am blessed.
I am blessed.
Hallelujah. I mean, this, you know, this is the thing. Like, we always say that it doesn't matter what your ex says about you. It doesn't matter what your mother-in-law says about you. It doesn't matter what your boss says about you. It doesn't matter what, you know, the bully from third grade said about you. It matters what the Word of God says about you. Actually, it doesn't even matter what you say about you. It matters what the Word of God says about you. It matters what God says about me. It matters what God thinks about me. And look what He says about us.
Yeah.
We're blessed.
Amen?
Amen? Hallelujah. And for reference, the scripture that we get that from is Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. And verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. And then those are all from Deuteronomy 28. All right, then it goes on. Thank you, Father God, I have the mind of Christ. So next time crazy thoughts come, this is why it's so good to do these confessions, because crazy thoughts come to everybody, and you say, no, I have the mind of Christ. And it's not like I'm hoping so. This is what the Word of God says about me. So I can boldly say, I have the mind of Christ. I command every thought that's not of Christ. I rebuke you and command you to stop from entering my mind. And you have the right to do so. All right? Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Father God.
I have the wisdom of God in me. Now, if you make that confession, it helps you from doing stupid things.
Amen.
Amen. You know, because sometimes we do stupid things, and that's why the Word of God says that He sent His Word and delivered us from our destructions, not from His destructions. Because sometimes we create our own destructions. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy with the things we say and the things we do. But here, we can say that we have the wisdom of God in us. And when you have God's wisdom in you, it'll be hard to do stupid things. Amen? Thank you, Father God. My old life of sin is gone.
I am a brand new creation.
You know, maybe you grew up in the world or whatever. That needs to be your scripture that you repeat over and over and over and over and over until you get that into your being, until you don't even remember who the old you was.
Amen.
That you just know that I'm a brand new creation. The old has passed away. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I finally figured out who one of the thieves on the cross were next to Jesus. People, you know, wonder who the thief or, you know, who the thieves on the cross were. I figured out one of them, at least. It was the Apostle Paul's father. How do I know that? Because he says, my old man was crucified with Christ. It's a joke. You get it. You get it. If you think about it. My old man, you know, like my dad, you know. Was, all right, sorry, I know, it's... I have, like, that dry sense of humor, you know? Thank you, Marika. She liked it. Okay. My old man was crucified with Christ. All right. I know, I have these lame jokes. Thank you for at least just laughing with me so I don't feel so bad about them. But you are a brand new creation, amen?
Amen.
Which is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. Thank you, Father God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ.
I am the righteousness of God in Christ.
Some people are trying to become righteous. Thank you. Good luck. You can't become righteous on your own, but Jesus Christ has made us righteous. God has made us righteous. Amen?
Amen.
2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We are the righteousness of God in him.
Yeah.
You know, you got to stop saying, I'm just a dirty old sinner, whatever. I am the righteousness of God in Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Father God, because I live in the new man.
Thank you, Father God, because I live in the new man.
I live in righteousness and holiness. You see, some people just say, like, sin is so strong in my life, I can't break the power of sin. I try and I try and I try. Well, maybe that's because that's all you keep saying about it. What if you actually said what the Word of God says about you, which is this, Ephesians 4:24, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. So based on the fact that because I live in the new man, I'm a brand new creation, I live in righteousness and holiness. All right, thank you, Father God. Because I have received Jesus through faith,
I am a child of God.
You see, we don't just sing the songs about being a child of God. We actually have the scripture that tells us that we are the children of God, that I am his own child. And if that means he's my heavenly father, that means he wants to take care of me. He wants to make sure that I'm healthy. He wants to make sure that I'm prospering. Amen? And that means that when Jesus told the Syrophoenician woman that healing is the children's bread, well, he was talking to a Gentile under the Old Testament, which meant that that didn't apply to her. But we are under the New Testament, and we are the children of God, so it does apply to us. Now, notice she got the healing she wanted anyway because of her bold faith. Ultimately, God just wants to see our faith. But we have a standing with God because we're his children. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Father God. I am dead to sin.
I am alive in you.
Sin has no power in my life. Now you might be sitting there and you might be thinking, well, it seems like it does. But that's because you're not speaking the Word of God. The Word of God says, Romans 6:11, likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You need to reckon yourself as dead to sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father God. I am free of sin and its effects.
Thank you, Father God, and I am free of sin and its effects.
Which is Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So sin might have messed you up, and maybe you are suffering consequences from it, but you don't have to anymore.
Amen? Amen?
Amen. We're free from the law of sin and death. Amen. Thank you, Father God.
I have been redeemed
by the blood of your Son, Jesus.
And my sins are forgiven.
Amen, which is Ephesians 1:7. Thank you, Father God, I am your workmanship.
And you don't make mistakes.
Which is Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship. Think about that. If we're the workmanship of God, it would be impossible for you to be a screw-up. You know, maybe you were told that you're a screw-up, but you just need to remind whoever told you that, no, I am the workmanship of God, and God doesn't make failures. God doesn't make screw-ups. God doesn't make accident. You know, maybe your parents had an oops when you were born, but you are not an oops, all right? You are the workmanship of God. Amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Father God. Always lead me in triumph.
Through Christ.
Through Christ. Now, that's just too good to be true. Pastor Jeremiah, you must have made that one up. That can't actually be scripture. Oh, but it is. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God who always leads in us in triumph in Christ. Hallelujah. Who always, not sometimes. You just got to get his victory. Thank you, Father God. The blessing of Abraham is mine. I am blessed. Thank you, Father God. You have blessed me with every spiritual blessing. Which is Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So some people have been waiting to get blessed. You don't have to wait anymore. God already has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. I am well able to do anything.
Thank you, Father God. I am well able to do anything.
Because Jesus Christ gives me strength.
Because Jesus Christ gives me strength.
Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Father God.
Jesus disarmed the devil.
Jesus disarmed
the devil. He triumphed over the devil.
He triumphed over the devil.
Therefore, I triumph over the devil.
Therefore, I
love this scripture. Colossians 2:15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. I love that. He made a public spectacle of the devil. He beat him so bad, and then he just showed to the whole world, to all the demonic forces, just so you know, your leader has been defeated. All right, so what are we doing contending and fighting with a disarmed devil, you know? We just need to remind him of his place. Devil, you're defeated. Take your hands off my life. Take your hands off my body. Take your hands off my money. Take your hands off my family, and so on and so forth. Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Father God.
You always give me the victory through Jesus Christ.
You always give me the victory through Jesus Christ.
I thought we just said that one. No, that was a different one. You see, you got triumph and victory. If you didn't understand what triumph was, you get victory, all right? Either way, it works, though. Hallelujah. That's 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if I was, you know, doing these victorious living confessions off one or two scriptures, you might be like, yeah, you're kind of stretching the truth there a little, Pastor Jeremiah. But trust me, I actually only chose my favorites, and we're still going. There's plenty more in the Word that talk about this. Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Father God.
All things are working together for my good.
All things are working together for my good.
Because I love you.
Because I love you.
And I am called according to your purpose. Which comes from Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So if you love God and you're called according to his purpose, which you are, then all things have to work together for your good. Amen?
Amen.
Not for your bad.
Yeah.
Someone wants to tell you, hey, no, God put sickness on me. You say, no, he didn't. No, he didn't, because he said in his word that all things are working together for your good, not for your bad. All right, thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Father God.
No weapon formed against me will prosper.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
And you condemn any word that is spoken against my life.
And you condemn any word that is spoken against my life.
Now that's an Old Testament scripture from Isaiah, but we read or we learned that in the book of Hebrews, is it 6:8 or 8:6, that says that we have a high priest that has established better promises on a better covenant, which implies that all the promises of the old covenant not just apply to us today, but are actually better today. So you can anything that's in the Old Testament, we can claim it for ourselves, but it's even better in this testament that we live in. Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Father God.
You have thoughts of peace towards me.
You have thoughts of peace towards me.
To give me a hope and a future. Which you probably got that on your coffee mug, Jeremiah 29:11. Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Father God.
You have rescued me from the dominion of darkness.
You have rescued me from the dominion of darkness.
And translated me into the kingdom of your own dear Son.
And translated me into the kingdom of your own dear Son.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, next we have healing confessions. Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Father God.
You sent your word. And healed me.
And healed me.
And delivered me from all my destructions.
And delivered me
which is Psalm 107, verse 20. Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Father God.
Jesus said that healing is the children's bread. And I am your child.
And I am your child.
Therefore, healing belongs to me. Thank you, Father God.
Jesus
took up my infirmities
and carried my diseases.
Thank you, Father God.
By the stripes of
Jesus,
I have been healed.
Thank you, Father God.
You are the Lord who heals me.
Thank you, Father God.
You take sickness away from me.
Thank you, Father God, for your benefits.
For healing me from all my diseases.
For satisfying me with good things.
And renewing my youth.
That was a special one for, you know, our more seasoned people. Don't complain about getting older because the Word of God says that He will renew your youth. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Father God.
That I am prospering in all things.
And I am healthy.
Amen. That's 3 John 2, one of my favorite scriptures. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Now, lastly, and just as we go to finish the evening off, and we're going to take up an offering, we're going to go through these prosperity confessions. Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Father God.
As I sow generously into your kingdom. Which, hey, if you're not sowing generously into God's kingdom, you might want to skip these prosperity confessions, all right? Because it implies that you're sowing generously into God's kingdom, which I know, River Church people are generous. Thank God for you. As I sow generously into your kingdom,
I am reaping a generous harvest.
I always have all sufficiency
in all things
and have an abundance for every good work.
You supply me with seed for sowing
and bread for eating.
You multiply the seed that I have sown,
which causes an increased of which causes an increased harvest of prosperity.
I love this last part.
I am being made rich in every way,
so that I can be generous on every occasion.
Hallelujah. And that comes from 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 11. Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Father God.
You are meeting all of my needs according to your riches and glory.
You are meeting all of my needs according to your riches and glory.
By Christ Jesus.
By Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Father God.
You are blessing all the works of my hands.
You are blessing all the works of my hands.
Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Father God.
You give me power to attain what I really want in life.
Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Father
God. I expect the best.
I expect the best.
And with your help, I will attain the
best. And with your help, I will attain the best.
Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Father God.
Just as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob,
and Joseph,
don't forget Joseph,
became rich,
very rich,
prosperous,
exceedingly prosperous,
and successful,
by serving you,
you are making me rich,
very rich,
prosperous,
exceedingly prosperous,
and successful,
as I serve you.
Thank you, Father God,
that as I meditate on your word,
I am becoming prosperous,
and successful.
Now the reason that's in there is because that's the first scriptures are from Genesis, talking about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, and then it goes into Joshua. Thank you, Father God.
Whatever I do,
you cause to prosper.
Thank you, Father God.
You are taking pleasure in
and delight in
my prosperity.
Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Because I trust you,
I am prospering.
Thank you, Father God.
Because I am generous,
I am being made rich.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now look, it's impossible to start your day off with these. Now, and I know like I took a little while to explain and read some of the scriptures, but when you actually just do the confessions one right after the other, it takes you less than 10 minutes. And I mean, who doesn't have 10 minutes in the morning or in the evening to start and finish their day like this? I mean, when you start your day like that, it's impossible to have a down day. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I backed off of this, I think Monday and Tuesday, and I had a down day. But when you start your day off declaring the word of God over your life, it's impossible to read all of that, that God wants me to be the victor, that I'm the head, that I'm the head and not the tail. I'm blessed going in and going out. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed everywhere, that God has healed me, that God has delivered me, that God is doing all these wonderful things. It's impossible to do read and declare all of that and then just be like, well, it's a rainy day. I don't know how it's going to go. Well, I don't really feel like going to work today. It's impossible. Man, you can't know that God is leading you into victory. You can't know that God is leading you into triumph every day and then walk around defeated. When you start your day off reminding yourself, reminding all of heaven, reminding all of earth, and reminding all of hell that this is who I am and this is who God's called me, it'll be impossible for you to stay down. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, man, I didn't know you all could preach so good.
Yeah.
But you guys did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
That's declaring the word of the Lord. That's preaching right there.
Yeah.
You guys did fantastic. So thank you for helping me tonight preach my sermon. And just as we close, we're going to give everyone an opportunity to sow into the ministry that would like to do so. Hallelujah. And remember, just as we declared it, as we sow generously into the kingdom of God, we reap a generous harvest. That's what the word of God says. That's what we declared. And so as we sow into God's kingdom, we thank him by faith in advance for a wonderful, mighty harvest in Jesus' name. It's really easy to give here. You can follow the instructions on the screen. And when you're ready, take your seed in your hand and we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you that you're so good. Thank you that you're a wonderful God, a faithful God, a kind, loving, merciful God. Hallelujah. We just worship you tonight. God, I thank you for every single person that as they go to sow seed tonight, as we're sowing generously into your kingdom of our resources, God, I thank you that your word says that you're making us rich in every way so that we can be generous on every occasion. Lord, I thank you that as we're proving ourselves faithful with money, you are trusting us with greater riches than even money. Lord, but that includes money. Lord, I thank you that you're making us rich in every way. I thank you that you've blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Lord, I thank you that you desire, that you pray, and that you love that we prosper in all things. God, I thank you that we're prospering according to your word. And Lord, as we sow into your kingdom tonight, we stand on your word, we remind you of your word, and we thank you that your word is always true. Let every man be a liar, but let God be true. God, I thank you that you're true and that your word is true. And Lord, we praise you, we glorify you, and we honor you tonight in Jesus' mighty name. And if you believe that, say amen. Thank you for being here with us tonight. We're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget to join us Sunday morning and bring a friend and some family. And we look forward to seeing you there.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.